It's going. All right. Good day.
Good day to you, sir.
How's your sleep?
How can you tell?
Well, I mean, it's early for you. Maybe you didn't sleep. Maybe you slept at the shop again.
I did. I had a little short sleep at the shop. It was nice.
Should I be chastising you about this? Not sleeping at the shop? No, okay.
It's been great. I'm really enjoying my Wednesday evening noodling around the shop. It's great.
What do the kids say? Why is dad at the shop?
Zero impact for them because I go home, have dinner, put them to bed.
Oh.
And usually I'd be up and out the door before them anyway, so it's same.
I see.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to finish my breakfast soup, please hold.
Let me take a moment to remind you to go watch all of our episodes from the beginning on YouTube and also join the Patreon. Thank you for this breakfast soup time, Chimerical. Yes, it seems I can't say Chimerical.
How are you going?
What kind of breakfast soup do you eat? I'm not aware of a breakfast soup.
No, I'm trying to stop coffee being the first thing that I put in my body of a morning. I've realized 40 years later that, not that I've been drinking coffee for 40 years, but that it's probably not the best thing to be doing. You know, having two or three coffees before I eat any food. So I've finally broken the habit of actually putting breakfast in my system. But about the only thing I can stomach at this hour is some sort of bone broth and rice in soup form. Which
sounds all right.
Feels all right. Yeah. I like a breakfast soup.
I thought it might have been like a traditional Australian fare, and I never heard of such a thing.
No, I'm more of a, like, some of the best breakfasts I've had was when I was living by myself in South Korea and would eat sort of like simple brothy soups of a morning, maybe with an egg. And I've been eating some of the random vegetables out of the compost that are growing in our sawdust compost. I think it's kale. Oh. I can't quite tell.
It's kale with a C, because now it's compost.
How's your day?
We've all started right at the same spot. Boy, I'm doing all right. Well, let's see. Doing pretty good. I got here a little earlier. Went to sand up these little boxes that I made for my house. Just a little weird Baltic birch
casual bird box.
To put behind my trash bin in my cabinets because they don't fit quite right. And the little trash part wants to slide in the drawer. I just made a little box behind there. Put those together. Went to sand the parts with our pricey Mercaderos 5.5 something sander that doesn't get much use, and I plug it into the Festool dust collector so it auto go on and off, and it popped.
Uh-oh.
Like
the sander.
Like, you know, you hear like a fuse go.
Meow.
And I'm so confused. It's like 110. We've done this a million times. They have their own power switch, so like it shouldn't even be on when it's plugged in. Yeah. I asked Ricky, I was like, well, did I do something wrong? Weird. I just plugged, like, how do you do that? I wouldn't have thought much of it at first because it was, you know, pretty subtle, but I smelled smoke. So this thing is like 3 years old, probably just out of warranty. We haven't used it that much. So that might be $600 down the drain.
So the sander popped or the vac? Shot vac.
The sander.
Sander. Right.
Yeah.
They're not good. Is that like the nice Deros with the paddle on top?
Yeah.
My fave.
I know. They're amazing. We really only have one sander because we don't do a lot of sanding, so we have nothing there now, so I don't know. We'll see how that goes, but that kind of ruined my... I had to do some hand sanding.
Unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I see things on here I really like.
Oh, really? I can't tell what I wrote and what you wrote anymore, but sure.
Perfect.
Perfect.
We've merged.
Oh, wow. I'm going to jump to a fun thing. Uh-huh. So, as I mentioned last week, I think I'm doing this job for Ableton. And they've shipped me one of their pieces of hardware, which is the Push 3. It's like a drum machine, zippity synthesizer-y sequencer, music controller thing. It's basically the Ableton software jammed into a bit of very nicely made.
Oh, it looks nice.
Svelte black hardware. But it's so fun. I don't think I'm going to be able to do this job and have this machine for a couple of weeks without getting myself one.
Mm-hmm.
Which will render the job unprofitable, but it's much fun. So yeah, last night I did have a bit of a session on the Push, bippity boppity, making some tunes.
Sounds like a workout.
Yeah.
Did a session on the Push.
Uh huh.
It's like training for skateboarders. Push, yeah. Push. Cool. It looks nice. Is it the Push standalone or the Push connect to your computer?
It is the standalone. Mm. Battery powered. Sit on the couch.
So is it connected up to the podcast right now?
No, because my black hole is problematic. I can't. I spent some time reconfiguring it last night, and I've got buttons and lush strings just here for you. Not on the Push, but you can't hear any of it.
So. No. I like how you started out with them, and then like somehow we've just flip-flopped back and forth of like who has what works. It's like for just old men who don't understand the internet anymore. Lovely.
What have you been doing?
That's cool. It looks nice.
It's fun times.
You have to like then USB stick in some type of, or like how do you get, oh, it has a hard drive. So you have to dump it on there and then assign them to keys and...
It's still got a computer on it, and it's like a beautifully intuitive workflow. I mean, I've used Ableton a little bit over the years, so it's kind of a semi-familiar interface, but yeah, it's basically running the top version of Ableton on the device. So it's packed with samples and packs and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this because it's like one of those teenage engineering things that I have absolutely no use for, but
I just want it because it looks so cool. Bibbidi bobbidi. Yeah.
I make no synthesizing outputs, but man, cool stuff.
Yeah, super cool stuff. The Knockout 2 from Teenage Engineering is on my fantasy.
Do you have any other stuff?
List. No, I do not.
There's a product called Knockout 2 that's for industrial strength foam that clings on contact.
Pro-Chem, heavy-duty industrial strength foam that clings on contact and provides exceptional dwell time to break down the toughest soils, making it perfect for cleaning dirty, greasy, oily machinery.
Aerosol heavy-duty foamer degreaser. Don't put that on your Knockout 2 from Teenage Engineering.
I got Knockout 2, The Wrath of Karen, which is a game on Steam.
The Wrath of Karen. You just fight Karens in parking lots?
I suspect so.
You're wearing all the hats again.
Yeah, baby.
Or you were.
I've got my mum's hat on at the moment. You've got a nice hat on too, actually.
I got a new hat. Totally.
Crispy.
Need a new hat. I just kind of wear them out, and then eventually I'm like, well, that looks like crap. Need a different one.
Yeah, I'm wearing all the hats. This is my first week of mega hat wearing. So Sarah
see if I can find what's
Josh
changed.
Finished. Where? Yeah. Who now? What's changed?
I said I was going to see if I can tell what changed on your website, if you've been making changes.
I have fiddled with the website a little bit. Yes, so last week Josh and Sarah finished up, which is sad. It's kind of end of a chapter, end of a big, 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 big chapter for Butter. So
there
was a sense of sadness of that wrapping up, but also a sense of like, cool, right, this is it, let's go, and starting the week.
Yeah.
With the four of us moving forward, and I don't know, just the energy's been good, the dynamic's great. Just it's feeling really positive. And Laura was asking me about it the other night, about like why it feels so different. I think it's partly just being close, you know, because we effectively had a middle management structure, and we've kind of we've really flattened that structure back to a much simpler form. So it's partly being closer to the processes and the tools that I love, and it all just feels a bit simpler, even though like Airtable automations are breaking left, right and center as I remove Slack and Airtable accounts and things like that. There's a lot that's going wrong that I have to fix, and the sort of the digital side of things, but there's a lot that's going right as well in terms of just we're winning jobs, they're the type of work that we want to be doing, they're like Gitapart's, custom Gitapart's shelves, like it's bang on target in terms of the type of work we're winning, and feels great.
It's good.
And I'm bloody loving being able to just open my bank account and look at where my clean, isolated revenue account is at for the week, and see that growing over the course of the week as I put in quoting and sales effort and actively close the gap to where I know that it needs to be by Monday or whatever, the next cycle. So that's been bloody enjoyable. Oh.
And now it's profit time.
Yeah, same. I'd say the one thing that hasn't changed a damn bit is that exact same cycle of like, I haven't gotten the buffer in there that I want yet, where it's like, all right, where do we got to get to? Got to sell some cars. Got to move some units. But on that note, I mean, it just feels ridiculous to say it, but like profitable last month. I mean, it was very intentional, cutting out every extra cost purchase, I guess, we possibly could. And so what I was kind of explaining to Ricky when I was mentioning it, because, you know, we don't talk about all of that all the time, and he doesn't frankly seem, you know, care all that much, I don't think. You know, he doesn't want to know about every financial detail, but I share quite a bit. And I was saying, you know, like, it feels weird to say this, but we haven't been quote unquote profitable the majority of the months, you know, preceding. And the way that my profit statements kind of come out, it puts the owner pay plays a factor in that to being at the bottom of it, basically. So it's like the money that gets taken out for that I get paid makes it usually tick over into negative, which is kind of goofy to say. But, you know, if you go up a few lines, usually before that kind of stuff, it's still we're always like, we're not just like losing all of our money, but, you know, at the very bottom of the profit statement now, income statement, it's positive numbers, which is great.
Ooh. So yeah,
still working on everything kind of increasing, but we had a pretty good month of things that we want to be good, right? Like selling products and keeping costs low and keeping the margins good and trying to eat away at any weird expenses that don't need to be there. So
fantastic.
Feels like success.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's nice to see a positive number in the bottom there. I haven't actually looked at my zero P&L yet. I feel, because I'm only 3 days into being the zero guy, and I haven't worked out, haven't decided how often I'm going to reconcile. I think weekly. What are you doing? Are you back to daily?
I've been thinking about that. Like, I still have this habit of, like, even though I have all the accounts, I guess I feel ill-equipped. Yeah, I understand the ideas of, like, well, I think it's feels stupid to not look at the accounts, and I've been keeping my stupid spreadsheet up still to some degree. I think part of that's a transition, and I don't know if I'll stop doing that, but like, it's different in that I think the biggest change that's really positive that kind of mends all that, still doing some of the old things, is I don't consider the split out accounts. I look at the OPEX, I look at income, and everything else I'm trying to, like, that's really my only two accounts. So I still need to probably split out to, like, payroll separately. Payroll and lease is this pretty fixed cost. But other than that, like, I'm not considering, I used to consider all of those other, you know, the tax, all that stuff used to be one account. So I would consider all that money free to use or free to budget with.
And that's
I think, the biggest, let's say, sin of what I was doing before. So I'm fine with that, I guess. I still feel like I need to know what's happening, the dollars, where it's going in and out of, and what the numbers are of those accounts. So.
Yeah, like, I'm in the accounts regularly, like a few times a day, and the bank side of things, kind of checking to see if clients have paid an invoice. That's probably the main reason I'm there, actually, and just kind of looking at it from a sort of target setting perspective of, like, cool, I've still got a big gap I need to close, or that gap's closing, that's great, bloody blah. But at zero, like, the reconciling end of things, like, I'm just letting those pile up, and I think I'll sort of batch reconcile maybe once a week to start with, so it doesn't get too out of hand. And I want to keep zero reasonably up to date, and I'll have to be in there at points anyway to sort of finalize people's invoices to send them there.
Yeah.
Balance due, or, you know, whatever, or final paid invoices, copies of. So, don't know, we'll see. Well, there's still, like, with all the hat wearing, like, there's still so much to work out, how my role's going to work, what my time breakdown's like. Like, I feel like I've had the most, like, delightfully faffy week where I've felt so much lighter. I've had so much to do, but I've also just been quite unstructured in how I've done it. Like, I've been jumping all over the place. My default diary is in the bin this week, and I'm just, like, trying to do all the things at once, which feels terribly inefficient, but also quite kind of deliciously, like, a guilty pleasure of, like, yeah, I will do it. However, that, no one. Yeah.
It's like I don't know, it's a bad analogy, I suppose, but letting yourself drink again if you're an alcoholic or something, you know. God, oh, it feels good. Let's just do it this little bit. Like, not following the plans you set out for yourself.
So it's been fun. I mean, we are definitely not back in a profitable point just because of many reasons, but like the paying out everyone's leave and accruals and all of that has been a very expensive, cash-heavy process. But if I put that, I've been sort of reconciling that separately and accounting for it separately to some extent, so I can tell what the reality is. Aside from that, the other reality, and that looks quite good. Like, I actually paid the bills this week and, like, paid rent for the first time in about 6 months. Well, rent, mortgage, it's kind of the same thing. Right. So yeah, that feels super positive.
How does that work? Are you leasing to your, maybe you don't want to share this stuff. Yeah, do you lease to yourself then?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. There's two entities. There's Laura and I.
Right.
But one entity who own the building. Well, some of it. The bank owns the rest of it.
Equity of the building.
And the company rents the building from us.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So that rent the company pays is basically just covering the mortgage.
I mean, the good news is you just kick this company out if they stop paying you.
I could. Rent it out.
You just, like, have a two-person conversation, and you're the same person. You jump back and forth. You got to get out. No, don't make me. Oh, that's awesome. I mean, I feel like you had a much harder go to get to, I guess, where we're at right now. And do you see though that soon you can be profitable, I would assume, when all this kind of, like, outgoing cash of changing employees and stuff tidies up? It'll switch pretty quickly.
I think so, yeah, on paper. Yep, remains to be seen. Yeah, there's a lot to sort of iron out and work out. Like, this week I made some manual adjustments in I had to steal money from my OPEX account and put some extra into payroll because I couldn't finish doing the pay run on Monday. I was like, okay, maybe that's a percentage that's a little bit off, or maybe it's just because I haven't earned enough in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I've just been tracking those in my spreadsheet. I'll just keep an eye on those and then kind of make, at some point, I'll sit down and maybe readjust my percentages to try and cover those.
Yeah. I just shifted my... I think it was 2 days ago, three business days ago, maybe end of last week. I shifted the Mercury automatic, my bank automatic splitting of accounts transfers from daily to twice a month, even though I don't feel like that's enough. So my options are like every day, every transaction, or twice a month. And it's like the 1st and 15th. And I kind of messaged support and I was like, hey, I'd love to see like some more dynamic options, or like once a week would be, I think, my ideal. I mean, I'd love to get to a place where we just need it twice a month, but I also don't want to constantly be thinking like, is there enough in those accounts? Because it's just sitting all in the income account. Like, it just feels a little silly. But it is a lot of transactions to constantly every day have five accounts be split up to go reconcile. It feels... doesn't, you know, it's not really necessary.
No, that's a lot to do daily, for sure.
Other than that, it's working pretty good. I've taken a new, let's see, how do I say it? So I had an international customer say they didn't have a credit card to pay with to buy some products. And I was like, interesting. Not really had that before. I was like, well, this new bank has the ability to just receive any type of wires for free. Like, they don't charge any fees for it, which is amazing. And so I basically made like an invoice, sent them that link, and they paid me the same day. And it was like instantly in my account. I was like, damn, like, this is, it feels like I've hit the new age of banking finally. Like, I'm just, maybe it's just America, but I just feel like everything is so behind like what I would want it to do. How you know, it should be easier to pay people safely, I feel like. And often we just rely on credit cards being the thing, even though there's fees. So, like, I also didn't have to pay any fees for that whole transaction, which is great.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think how that might work for us.
How do you do more of that? Going forward. All them pesky fees add up.
Yeah, right.
We've just been hit with a new one. Oh, it's probably international, actually. Like, Visa... bloody blah changes, which mean that any international transactions, I think we're getting another 3% charge on them or something.
Yeah.
Which means Shopify's like any of our international subscriptions, which is pretty much all of our SaaS software like Airtable.
Oh, wow.
Quotient, etc., will be hit by that.
You might be able to, here you can find different credit cards that don't charge that stuff, but I don't know how. It's annoying though. I see here that you're using some kind of new...
What's new in Software Corner?
Software.
I don't know why the buttons always never cease to amuse me. I never quite know when they're coming. I've heard you talk about this app, but I've never used it myself. Text Expander? I feel like you've talked about it. Yeah. This would be old news for you.
I'm a diehard, old school...
Of course you are.
...pre-subscription user. You've got this version that like doesn't... I don't think it updates anymore, but they like went to a subscription model probably 5 years ago, and somehow I've just never had to do that. Like, awesome. I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm just using an old version of the software.
And you know all the shortcuts? Do you still use a lot of them?
Oh my God, yeah. You know, if you watch, it's kind of like watching somebody, one of us, use Rhino that has all the macros set up, but I can like fill out a form field and like... I have a very long name and like I'm just like tab, you know, it's like some kind of weird shorthand stenographer thing. I love it. It's so great.
Yeah, I'm only just dabbling. I mean, I've used the text replacements in phone and in the Apple ecosystem for a while. I've always had stuff in there. Anyway, I was doing something this week. I was like, wouldn't it because I'm a terrible typer, like I can't touch type. So this will help me a bit. And I was just aware the other day of like how many typos I might make. and how little time I now have. I was like, how can I make this quicker? That was something really, like, really silly too that kind of prompted me to go looking at Text Expander. It was like, oh, yeah, it was just today's date. Like, writing today's date in a consistent format, because I chop and change. Like, sometimes I do just, like, numerical year, month, day. Sometimes I write, like, full words of days of the week and month. And it's like, this could be so much better. Surely Text Expander can just smartly do today's date.
Oh, man, I've got so many of those. This is back when I worked for myself, by myself. And it's just grown and grown. I need to clean it out over time. But, like, those were some of the first ones, like being able to type the date. Like, all my file naming structure is usually just year, year, month, month, day, day. So it automatically dumps that out if I type F date, or like if I type D date, it gives me day, month, year in a different format. Emails that are short, like I need to type my email to log in. GPT has been absolutely amazing for making snippets, because I can just say, I want to make a new Text Expander snippet that will take my clipboard and remove every letter D and put in a emoji that looks like this.
Get out of town.
And now whenever you have, have your clipboard. Like, I used to spend forever trying to figure this stuff out on the internet, like going through some stupid forum on Stack Overflow. And now I just tell GPT what I wanted to do. And it's like, all right, here you go. Paste this in to your snippet.
Okay. There goes my morning.
It's lovely. Remember when I said I used to, like, one of the stupid things I tried to do, I mentioned this a few episodes ago, for some reason, one of the things I was working on, I always wanted to have a couple different Chrome windows open to certain pages. And I spent probably collectively a couple days trying to figure that out. But it would, like, the snippet would open two windows, put it in a certain space, and then, like, eventually that would break and I would have to figure out why. I don't do any of that stuff anymore, luckily. There's a lot of, like, cool groups you can download or link that people have created. Yeah, so it's cool. Like a whole folder full of them. You can share them with colleagues if you have the cloud version, which I do not. Yeah. Nobody else cares about it here at all. Yeah.
Gosh. Performing at that level, you must... How do you go with people in your life who don't use shortcuts at all? Or have you disowned them?
At one point, I was a little more like... proselytizing, I suppose, of like, you guys got to try this. And then I just realized, like, this more than anything else I've been interested or enthusiastic about, people just do not care. They're like, you're crazy. Why are you learning how to be a court stenographer? You know, it's like they just think I'm insane. So I just don't tell anybody about it. Nobody wants to know. I'm sure that's crazy. The reaction right now.
Come on, it's so good. So good. I appreciate it.
So, like, similarly, one of the things I love about Freshdesk.
Okay.
And I think Gmail could do something like this at one point, but the canned responses that can be shared throughout are just like little snippets, basically. They're the same as a Text Expander snippet, except for you type /C when you're in Freshdesk writing something. It pops up a list you can search from, and you say, like, pick up instructions, and then, like, Ricky doesn't have to go search for or remember or copy it from somewhere. And it's kind of like a very simple version that can't, like, do replacements and fill-ins and all the kind of fancy stuff that Text Expander can do. But that was a big benefit, I think, other than, you know, having all the other features it does.
Yeah, cool. Because Gmail still does the email template thing that felt like it was in beta, like Gmail Labs, for years and years and years. And we used to use it in that format. And then finally, it kind of became an integrated feature of it. It's so clunky, though, to, like, keep them, to modify, keep them updated, even to find the one you want. You've got to go into a fairly obscure submenu and, like, pick out the... Mm-hmm. canned response you want to use. And
yeah, I mean,
it's very different to just typing a shortcut and boom, having
Right.
Content there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fun. I mean, I used to do a lot with the NAC product spec before where I'd have like, because people would always want like line sheets and stuff. And I don't know, at that point it was easier to make snippets where I could like dump out the, like I was reselling stuff. I could have like the wholesale prices in there and put it in an email and links to the products. And I don't know. A lot of the time now I'm using it for like, it's turned into just my shorthand. But I know I use every week when we're doing the parts department stuff. I have the YouTube description. I have the tags, the your emails in here because I don't know that off the top of my head.
How do you go with not having it across all devices then? Like, it's not on your phone, right? What?
I don't use it on my phone. I tried that at one point, but that is one thing that just was really poorly put together. But it syncs across Dropbox. Me sharing this is probably completely useless. We might have to cut this out. Because I use this old version. I don't think you can buy anymore. Maybe you can. But it's always synced on Dropbox. And it runs on my Macs, because I only use Macs. And so I don't often change it. But yeah, all the same things are on my two computers that I use. And it's worked for probably a decade now.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't know how, honestly.
Right.
I was just resizing the window, and it seems to be having a new glitch that it kept, you know, like when you drag something, it does that like striation, or like the window gets messed up. It's doing that now. So maybe talking about this isn't a good idea. It's gonna go on me.
Have you launched the unicorns?
It's damn near. It's live, technically. Nobody even knows about it. But the unicorns are out.
Sharing it now.
Spent a lot of time going through many, many sheets of printouts of course itinerary stuff and time schedules and trying to make sure that I felt like specifically that one day we could get through what I was intending to get through instead of a multi-day event.
Okay.
And feeling pretty confident in that right now. So the CNC router unicorn training should be live by the time this is up. There's only six seats for the first class.
We'll see how it goes. Integration.
Ooh, did it look all right?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's kind of goofy right on that little drop down thing, but
it's great.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome.
Nice. Kind of still revising. A lot to do, a lot to prep for, but I'm excited. It's been basically 5 years coming, and see if anybody wants to do it.
Yeah. See.
Yeah.
Mint. So is that the first
date? It does completely run. This, the 19th of April should be the first. It's a Friday.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's this month, which I was hoping to get it out a little bit earlier, but I'll have 16 days. Probably by the time you hear this, it'll probably be all the seats are hopefully gone by then, unfortunately, but it's my hope.
Go live. Go live. I mean, it is live. Promote.
Promote.
Promote the damn thing.
This is really cool. I am happy about how I figured out how to make a Shopify product that redirects to a fill out form so you can use Airtable to choose your seat, pay with Stripe. Zapier then gives you access to the courses on Circle, and we'll be able to like automate some emails through Flowdesk. So it's all coming together.
That's a separate course learning how to do that though, right?
Yeah, you can't get that here. Just listen to this podcast.
That's the other unicorn training. Yeah.
Yes. See, the coding one. Where did my image go? Oh no, it's broken. What just happened? There it is. Yeah.
Excuse me, I got too many unicorns up my wazoo. Cough, cough. Right, my sloppy update in web land is I've really been dragging my feet. I could make excuses, but I've just been doing a crap job of finishing this configurator.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm doing the final bits that it requires. Like, just all I have to do right now is log in, find where the SKUs are stored in the VividWorks end the kit of parts configurator and make sure that they match the SKUs in Shopify and just do some simple stuff like that, because I suspect that's all that's holding me up right now.
So it's like a manual connection, or like, do they have like some dialogue that you can like see both or something?
They talk to each other, but the pricing's not yet working on the config and like the embedded config on Shopify. The pricing's in part count and stuff isn't working properly. So I suspect it's just a mismatch of SKUs. I'm just finding the weak. I mean, it's, yeah, excuses, but I'm finding the weeks of just vaporizing and
I'm
not making progress on it.
That's kind of similar for trying to get this core stuff out, or just like anything new. Just felt like the weeks and my taxes, like all this just feels like it keeps disappearing.
I popped my marker. Oh no.
I wonder if you can just, I don't know. We'll see if anything comes of it. I know they have an okay warranty, but I'm pretty sure it's too old by like a year or something.
I had an electrical pop the other day, last week in the shop actually, when I was cleaning the wide belt sander. I opened the door, it's got like a big steel service door on the side of it.
Yeah.
And I opened it to clean and service, and there was an almighty pop. And an extension lead that was powering the air filters on the back of it had fallen into like the gap of the hinge.
Ooh.
And the steel door just pinched it and cut through to the copper.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a big charred little electrical explosion where it had cut through the extension lead. Thankfully, everything was properly grounded and it just tripped the breaker, and it was just nothing else to it.
That turned out pretty good.
Yeah, I know, right? Given that I was holding the steel door as it went. It's an example of why your equipment should be properly grounded so you are not the ground. That's a bit exciting.
Yeah, I bet.
But the shop generally, you know, that was an example of a cable that should have been cable tied and wasn't. Just some sloppy cable management on my part. But generally speaking, the shop's looking really good. There's always more to do, but it's looking real nice and spacious out there. Except for the fairy lights of network cables that I ran yesterday, I think. I sent you a photo of
having some networking issues.
I've got massive regret of not hardwiring our machines years ago, because Johnny was having real... He's always had bits and pieces. There's always been minor issues with connectivity and the machines and syncing and file sharing to them and stuff. We pushed through it, and it's a lot, but it turns out a lot of it that was to do with our Wi-Fi setup in terms of out on the floor and the machine not having static IP addresses and things like that. Anyway, I just found a 50-meter Cat 6 cable in Laura's box of tricks yesterday morning, and I just like dragged it from this room, actually, the modem's in with me, out. Right, through the office, out into the shop, found, also in Laura's stash, found like a network switch, plugged that in, and it all just worked perfectly.
Yeah.
And it made a massive difference to Jenny's workflow in terms of connectivity and stuff yesterday. So
they're previously Wi-Fi? Those machines have Wi-Fi?
A combination of... We kind of had a Wi-Fi range extender thing out there that was the... portaled for the machines to connect to the network with, and it's just a bit patchy. So I regret not hardwiring more of the shop when we built it, but
I mean, I don't know how much is worth, like, we've wired out most of the machine. We had that kind of problem before too, so I wired like the Shop Saver, the computer's wired there. The mill computer's wired. A lot of it, you know, Ricky's not wired. Some of them here is. We just kind of string it. The ceiling kind of is somewhat exposed, so they just go through holes in the ceiling joists. So it's not like gorgeous and try to tidy it up at places, so it's not like it's super hard. But I've had some weird, like my Mac Studio seems the port doesn't work. And I've read that other people have lost their network port. Like, how the hell? It's like the weirdest thing I've never had that problem with any a device that doesn't move really either. It's not like a laptop where I'm like jamming it in a bag.
Yeah, all right.
It's pretty strange.
Dang. I just run a little USB-C network cable adapter, and that seems...
Yeah, I'm probably going to get something like that. It is noticeably slower.
Is it?
Like, especially, like, reaction speed. What do you call that? The not lag.
Ping.
Ping? Ping? It's like when you go to do something, it's, like, considerably slower on Wi-Fi.
Interesting.
I'm only getting about half of our download speed.
I didn't know you were a gamer.
Yeah, minorly.
I'm a minor gamer. Serious listeners, he's not looking at me.
Yeah, play quite a few. I've been playing video games since I was like 6, 8, something like that.
Whoa! Wow.
Not like really intense. I don't play a lot of like online stuff. But yeah, cool. FIFA, the soccer game. It's about the only game I buy every year.
Goodbye.
Oh.
I'm out.
Oh.
Go football. Kick a ball. Jesus.
Go kick a ball. These kids.
What would Ted say?
All right, fellas. My name's Ted Lasso. This here's Coach Beard.
Let's see. We're preparing our sale that's going to happen next month. And considering to do some kind of like scratch and dent stuff that's not a lot, but in particular we had some tool holders made by a couple vendors that have had issues between being scratch finishes, the bends not being quite up to what we'd like them to be, and so they've been like QA'd out. And Ricky was like, when do we start getting rid of these? You know, maybe there's a couple dozen, let's say. And I was like, well, we could just recycle them, I suppose, or just steal. But then I was like, well, I don't really want to just throw them away, though. It's like, the big problem with selling scratch and dent for me is mostly the logistics of, like, handling the Shopify crap. Like,
yeah, totally. How do you... Yeah.
Like, make an entire separate product, and then we're not going to photograph each one. They're not high enough dollar, really, to, like, I don't know. So I haven't figured out. I guess you just make duplicates. I don't know. How loud would you do it?
I had a little bit of a success with this recently, because I've had the same hurdle friction in the past of, like, even for reasonably high value second stock of, like, can't be bothered getting a separate Shopify listing up for this.
Right. It's so a lot of headache.
My recent success was I took a photo of the thing, I put that photo on Instagram and said, this set of shelves is for sale, this is what's different about it, DM me if you want it. And when people DM'd me, I sent them back a manual Shopify order. Like a manual
order. This is what I was thinking to do.
Because you can share the URL to it and multiple people can look at it. Yep. And then the first person that checks out gets it. And then it becomes unavailable.
Interesting.
So there's no like, you're the first in line, you buy it first, and then if you don't buy it, then I'll pass it on to this person. It's just like you just share that one link and like whoever checks out.
Oh man.
It's good.
Interesting. So that was what I came to yesterday too. You know, but let's say we have 20 tool holders. Yeah, it's probably worthwhile. We don't have a lot of other stuff. There's probably some that I'm not thinking of. I'm sure he has a series of things that we've held back over the years. But yeah, every way I could think of, it's like, well, you don't make another variation of a product, because then you've got the matrix of other products that are, you know, like other versions of that thing, that then are you doing scratch and dent of each of those, and then that it just shows up in so many weird ways. So
no.
That's not the only thing we're gonna have other stuff on sale. This is gonna be like our annual sale, but part of that was going to be scratch and dent might be on there too, or like seconds.
Yeah.
So I think at this point, we'll probably do it case by case. Like, I don't know if we have anything high dollar that'll be on there that needs to be scratch and dent. So just an interesting, somewhat interesting challenge.
Yeah, I like the manual order function in Shopify because you can, I mean, it annoys me that you can't add a photo to the line item when you add manual line items.
Oh, right.
But right. You can just quickly, you know, add custom items, spin up whatever copy you want, assign a price to it, and then ping it off. Like, it's quick and dirty.
Right.
And it's coming through the right channels and they can check out properly with it. And it's just, yeah, I like it.
Interesting.
Interesting. I'll often do that for orders where someone pretty much just wants something straight off the website, but with a very minor customization, something that's not worth sort of putting through Quotient, and I'll just add the set of shelves from Shopify, and then I'll add a custom line item that just says customization. This is what the customization is.
Yeah, we kind of do check that out. Too every once in a while.
Pay your monies. Thank you. Yep. Goodbye.
Yep. Boop boop. The other, if Shopify devs are listening to this, I want custom orders to have a checkbox on the back end that says let the customer edit the order, because often I get this like, oh, I want to add another spacer, and instead of them just doing it quick and finishing their order, like, it could be another, you know, day till we get back to them, or a weekend or something. Often want them to tweak it.
Yeah.
But it works.
Choice, man.
Oh, I saw that Debris Brooms messaged us on Instagram and said, related to a past discussion about not understanding what we were doing right or wrong in Shopify, and that part of his job otherwise is a Shopify developer.
Get out of town.
So, offered to help, and I'm sure he would also take on more work otherwise. So, follow Debris Brooms on Instagram.
That's hilarious. I would never have guessed it.
Right. I know. You hide that developer hat well. Yep.
My God. I know you postulate that nobody cares about Text Expander, but I care. And Justin's just sent me a screenshot of his statistics.
I don't even know that that's totally accurate either, because it stops working every once in a while, those stats. So I'm sure it's way more.
1.5 million characters saved.
57 hours. Yeah, I don't know what that's related to. Is that since this computer was to set up? So looks like about June 2023. So yeah, we're probably in like 10 million character saves by now. Like, if you would actually accumulate it over all the time I've used it.
Amazing.
I'll show you my ghetto software. I'm sure it doesn't look anything like this anymore.
The typical novel might have between 50 and 100,000 words. So looking at, so you've written a few novels in Text Expander.
Sure. I mean, I literally have snippets that just drop in a bunch of lorem ipsum text, so,
oh, yeah.
You know, can write a book pretty fast.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Thank you for that. All that lorem ipsum, Justin. I'll eat it for breakfast.
This is good podcast material. just snippet bombing.
Just Jim. Listening to
via messaging.
Justin type. Yeah. Really fast. Trez, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'd play us out with the string quartet, but it says, as I said, no buttons. I'll continue to
got
work
this.
On that. The end.
Yeah.